Spirit's still going. We're still having it. So we're still enjoying it. Hopefully you are with family and friends. We've got a lot of family, and I got our adult children and their significant others nearby, and it's just really fun. So how about those Vikings? And way to go. And guard the heart, guard the heart, guard the heart. So, no, but regarding Thanksgiving, the dictionary defines the word thank as an expression of gratitude, an acknowledgement of favor or kindness. And for this to make sense, it involves more than one person. It's to be thankful, usually is thankful for someone. It's an expression of gratitude towards someone. You can be thankful for the weather, and some people thank the weather for the weather, but I choose to thank God for the weather, who is the author of things. But we say thanks to a person who holds the door for us. We say thanks to a person who serves us in a restaurant. It's usually someone else. They performed a kindness toward us, and we thank them. So it's an others thing. The opposite, just to think about it, the opposite, because I've been wished well, you know, happy Thanksgiving this time of year by, you know, people who, anyway, they don't have any acknowledgement of God. And I just think, who are they thanking, you know, when they're giving Thanksgiving? But the opposite, to be thankless, like a thankless job, it's, you know, I slave away here and I do all this and no one has thanked me. That's, again, about others, someone else. There's an expectation about others. But a thankful heart is a heart that's grateful toward another, toward others, typically. So Thanksgiving, in the dictionary, says a public celebration of divine goodness. Even in the dictionary, it acknowledges that Thanksgiving is about God. Amen. We give thanks to God, and that is a common theme. So sometimes it's hard to be thankful, right? It's tough to find a reason to give thanks, and that's where faith comes in real handy, to understand faith. And not just blind faith that hopes for the best, or faith that is wishful thinking or gritting it out or hanging in there, but, you know, I'm going to be thankful, I'm going to be hopeful, I'm going to hope the Vikings win. I'm talking about biblical faith that I want to look at. Not faith for what you want today, I want to look at Thanksgiving and faith and how they relate. That's the title, and I think as you grow in biblical faith, you're going to grow more thankful. And that's my goal for today, is that you will have a tangible grasp all the more on substance of faith, and it will increase your thankfulness. Despite all that's going wrong, all that's wrong or out of order in the world, all the heartache that we experience, no matter what's going on, to be thankful and to know that He is good. Amen? So I just want to pray, Father, just help us. Help us to have eyes to see what you want us to see, and ears to hear what you want us to hear, Father. I pray that you would speak to us in a way that we would know that we're visiting with you this morning. We're here because of you, not just to do our own thing, Lord. We invite you to lead us, lead me in what you want us to know and experience, and, Lord, encourage us to look into your eternal truth and to be changed by it. I pray in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. I'm going to blast through. First, could you open the window shades? I don't see your faces better. You guys look great. I'm just glad to be here. We were on vacation for a few days last week, and it's really good to go and good to come back. So, all throughout the Old Testament, Thanksgiving is a theme, a common story, common theme, and I'm going to blast through a few scriptures. 2 Chronicles 20:21 says, "Give thanks to the Lord, for His love endures forever." Psalm 9:1 says, "I will give thanks to the Lord with all my heart. I will tell of all your wonderful deeds." Then Psalm 100, verse 4 says, enter his gates with thanksgiving and his courts. That's great. Thank you. And his courts with praise, give thanks to him and praise his name. And there's just a few of the well-known Old Testament passages on thanksgiving. And there's all kinds more than that. But in the New Testament, throughout the New Testament too, it's Matthew 14, 19, taking the five loaves and the two fish and looking up to heaven, Jesus gave thanks and broke the loaves. And there's many examples of that. And 2 Corinthians 9:15, thanks be to God for his indescribable gift. Amen. And Ephesians 5:20 says, always giving thanks to God the Father for everything in the name of our Lord Jesus Christ. 1 Thessalonians 5:18 says, give thanks in how many circumstances? All circumstances. For this is God's will for you in Christ Jesus. Amen. So there's no shortage of encouragements. It's a lifestyle of thanksgiving that God calls us to, and that it's evident cover to cover from Genesis to Revelation. But it's made a lot easier when we mix it with biblical faith. When we have faith that's tangible, that's built on the rock, not just hoping for the best. That's what I want to look at today in the passage, Hebrews 11:1, that defines and describes what faith, biblical faith is. Says 11:1 and 2, and now faith is being sure of what we hope for and certain of what we do not see. This is what the ancients were commended for. Biblical faith is defined primarily in two words, sure and certain. Being sure and certain. These aren't vague, fluffy terms. These aren't gray areas. These are absolute, rock-solid, sharp words. Black and white words. Sure and certain. The King James Version I like says, faith is the substance of things hoped for, the evidence, substance and evidence of things not seen. Those are powerful words. And you can exercise faith that you'll get hired for a certain job. You can apply faith, and that's good to apply faith, but that's not necessarily biblical faith. That's not what this is talking about. There's no word, there's no scripture that says, pray and believe and you will get that job. Right? You hope for it. It'd be nice. But the ancients were commended for having faith. They were not commended for having faith that God would do what they wanted. The ancients were commended for having faith that God would do what God promised. Right? Big difference. Big difference between God, do what I want, and I'm believing you for it, versus God, do what you say, and I'm believing you will follow through on that. You are not a liar. You are faithful. You are trustworthy. The ancients were commended for having faith that God would do what God promised. That is what I wanna be, that kind of ancient. I want to be an ancient. Biblical faith that asks God to get you hired for a certain job is mixed with a promise from God that says, you know, we know that in all things God works for the good of those who love God and are called according to his purpose. So if you get the job, great. If not, I trust God is working it together for good. That I didn't get that job because he's got something even better than what I understand. And that brings thankfulness. That brings peace. And not discouragement that, oh, I didn't get it. God, where are you? I didn't get it. No, I wanna grow and have us grow in understanding biblical faith, because that's what you can build your life on it. Matthew Henry's commentary says, he's quoted as saying, faith is to the soul all that the senses are to the body. The five senses, we see, we smell, we hear, we taste, we touch. Get them all, see, smell, hear, taste, touch. All these provide data. They provide information. Our five senses provide information to our bodies. In a similar way, faith provides information, data, to our souls from the Word of God. And it helps us, the five senses helps us gather information so that we make decisions or we draw conclusions. In the same way, faith helps us to make decisions and draw conclusions. But unlike biblical faith in God's Word, natural, you know, our senses sometimes can steer us wrong, right? Sometimes they can give us either false or incomplete information. Now here's where I want to show, for example, illustration. My wife and I, as many of you know, we just got back from our wonderful, amazing Mexico Cancun vacation last week. And so I want to show you a few pictures here that we did ate a lot of amazing food, and then we did a lot of this, next, did a lot of that, just sitting around, which was wonderful. And then I got to go out and I got to go scuba diving a few times. So I was able to go down and it was very exciting. And we also went snorkeling, did some snorkeling, and I even got my wife to go snorkeling. It was great. Got her in the water. And so leave it there. So we had some fun. We got snorkeling around and a friend of mine who helped me get certified to go scuba diving, and he gave me a flashlight. It's an underwater flashlight. He says, you got to go night snorkeling because things come around in the dark that don't come around in the day. And it's a completely different, you know. It's like, great, great. That sounds fun. So I on the last night possible, took my snorkeling gear. But I should just say, before I show you what it's like, I talked to one of the staff people there about snorkeling. He says, yeah, you can't go out beyond these concrete bunker things that they have out there for safety, and you just want to stay within here. And I said, what about going out at night? He goes, oh, we'd never let anyone, you don't want to go out at night. It's like, oh, really? Okay, yeah. And so I'm thinking, why not? You know, it's a big deal. So it's kind of vague in my mind. This wasn't one of those rock solid things that I heard. I was kind of like, no, he gave me this flashlight, told me how good it's going to be and how fun it is. So I said, I'm going night snorkeling. And I'll stay within the concrete things and all that. And so my wife, amazingly, didn't want to go with me, but she knew I was going. My sister and my brother-in-law didn't want to go with me, but they said, yeah, have fun. And they're in, you know, and there's all these people. No one's on the beach. It's night and gorgeous stars. And so I took my flashlight, and I go out to the water, and I go underneath the water. And so you can go to the next slide to show. And that's pretty much kind of what I saw, is a lot of darkness and not a whole lot of fish. And I'm going around. I'd see a few of the same kind of fish I'd see during the day, and then the last one. And that's, you know, I'm looking. But, okay, getting back to my five senses, there was a time when I'm underwater, and I'm in about 5 feet of water, and I'm looking around with the flashlight, and I get my senses are telling me that there's something really large right over here. So I'd be like, no, there's nothing. And then I'd go, there's nothing there. Nothing. My senses were deceiving me. You know, my imagination was telling me something that wasn't there. I saw actually a lot less fish than during the daytime. There's a whole lot more fish, which also made me wonder, why is there a lot less fish in here right now? What do they know that I don't know? So my imagination and my senses were like, I think I'm ready to go in. But there's times when our senses tell us they don't like me. That person doesn't like me. Or my senses tell me I'm better than them. They're not as good as me. I'm better than that. I'm better than them. They're better than me. But the Word says, when we think they don't like me, no one likes me, no one cares. Well, how great is the love the Father has lavished on me that I should be called a child of God. The Word says, don't think of yourself more highly than you ought, but think of yourself with sober judgment. When you think you're better than someone else, or when you're afraid, it says there is no fear in love. There is no fear in love, but perfect love drives out fear. And when you're anxious, it's like, something's there. Let the peace of Christ rule in your hearts. Let him govern your heart. Let the peace of Christ come. Since as members of one body, you were called to peace. And it goes on to say, and be thankful. Let the word of Christ dwell in you richly when you're anxious. And so our senses, our five senses, although they work pretty well, they can be deceptive, right? They can tell you things that aren't true. Nothing there. Nothing there. But God's word is there, and it's solid as a rock. And you can trust his word. The ancients were commended for their sure and certain faith, and it pleased God. And then the next statement after this description of faith goes on, Hebrews 11:3 says, by faith we understand that the universe was formed at God's command, so that what is seen was not made out of what was visible. Why is this important? Why does this matter right here? Right after faith is being sure and certain, because we understand by faith that God created the universe out of nothing, out of what is not visible, things that are not visible. He made something out of nothing. Why is that important to us? Because when something in your life looks like there is nothing to work with, God can make something. From the beginning, he's the one who made it from the beginning. He's the master at taking something that looks like you got nothing to hope for, nothing to work with, and God will make something happen. God will make something out of that. Amen? He's the master at that. No matter what you're going through, no matter what the issue is, and we know we have issues, we have needs, we have concerns. And he makes something that is, he defines as very good. Very good out of nothing visible. He makes all the tangible, all the visible out of the invisible. So the ancients trusted God that what he promised he would do, that God would follow through in areas that looked like they had nowhere to go with it, nothing good was going to come of this. Even areas that looked like God would have to pull a rabbit out of his hat, they believed God, and it was credited to them as righteousness. God told Noah, I'm going to destroy the earth with rain. I want you to build a boat. And Noah said, we've never seen rain before. You know, he didn't say that. What's rain? There's no water within forever. He didn't say that. He said, okay. Okay. And it took him a long time to build that. Abraham, I'm going to give you and your barren wife so many descendants that you can't even count them all. And Abraham said, okay. He trusted God when there seemed to be absolutely an impossible, there's no way. It's going to be tough, Peter. You're going to go where you don't want to go, but you're going to bring me glory. So follow me and feed my sheep. And Peter said, okay. And he did. And God followed through on what he said he would do. And I can look at any one of you and say, you know what? In this world, you will have trouble. But take heart, because Jesus has overcome this world. And so trust him. And we say, okay. That's faith in the word, faith on the rock. That you can count on. That pleases God when you have that kind of, I could say, Gina, in my Father's house are many rooms, and I'm going to prepare a place. that kind of faith, no matter what's going on. Grabbing hold of the truth, not the wishful thinking, not the hope, I hope so. It'd be nice if such and such, but biblical faith holds on to the clear, defined, tangible promises of God. Amen? How do we know the universe was formed at God's command? Who was there? None of us, no human was there. How do I know this Cancun thing is going to be okay? It's going to be all it's cracked up to be. How do we know? There's a lot of money. We're going to be, you know, airfare and all this. How do we know? Well, we know someone who's been there. My sister and her husband were there at this very place, this same resort, and they said it's going to be great. And because we trust their judgment. And God was there. God was at creation. And because his character is trustworthy, the ancients learned to trust his opinion. And they believed him when he said he created it. And it was very good. We trust that he is trustworthy. And it says, without faith, it's impossible to please God. And even with my sister and her husband, they oftentimes would say, so how do you like it? How do you like it? How do you like it? Is it? Hope we didn't oversell it. Hope we didn't. It's like, no, it's amazing. It's incredible. It's wonderful. It's very relaxing. And they were pleased that we were pleased. And God is pleased when you believe him and trust him. And receive the blessing, receive his promises, receive what he wants to do, even when you don't see it, when you don't feel it, when you can't tangibly grab hold of it. His word is trustworthy, and he's pleased, especially when you trust him, even though you're not seeing anything good. And I know there's a lot of challenges in this room with families, with medical issues, different relational issues, financial issues. That's always knocking on the door. Always knocking on the door. But God is so pleased when you hold on to his promises, his goodness, his faithfulness. He loves you dearly. He spared no expense to prove to you that he cares about you and the things that concern you. He can be trusted to make his very good promises come to pass out of what looks like nothing to work with. This is a simple message, but when you contemplate and meditate on the long-term things, God knows the end from the beginning. Why does he put this passage about the creation of the world in the context of faith? Because he was there at the start, and he knows how the end is going to work out. He's not just coming in the middle. It's like we're coming into the middle of his existence. He's not coming into the middle of our existence. He was there from the beginning and before the beginning. He has no beginning. He knows exactly where you've been and where you're going and how your last breath is going to look. And he's working in every area, every relationship in your life. He's working in all of those, which is amazing. So when things are going badly or poorly or not the way you were hoping it would go, it's like, trust the Lord. Hang in there. Be confident in his care for you. He's not caught off guard. He's like, oh my goodness, that will never come out of God's mouth. Oh my goodness, oops, is another one that never will come out of God's mouth. He's always in charge, always knows what's going on, and always able to turn anything into a good story and a glorious story as you hang on. ancients were commended for their faith. And it says, even though they never received what was promised in that life, it says they held on, even though they never received what they were holding on to. And life is about more than this life. The promises go way beyond this life. It says, to the one who was from the beginning and is now, to him who was and is to come, to him the angels and the elders were saying in Revelation 7:12, saying, Amen, praise and glory and wisdom and thanks and honor and power and strength be to our God forever and ever. Amen. And we're going to see that day when we're going to be declaring those same things before His throne in that sea of people that's too many to count. And we know His promises are based on His word. And when your faith is focused on God's word, your thankfulness will increase. I just know it will. And that's my simple point for today. Know God's word, and your thankful hearts will increase. No matter what's going on. No matter what you see with your eyes. No matter what you experience, focus on the promises of God. Trust Him. Learn of His promises. Apply them to your life. And your heart will grow more and more grateful. Period. Right in the midst of whatever. So, I'm just going to close with this thought. Will the Vikings win the Super Bowl? I don't know. Maybe. We're going to have prayer and fasting meetings. No. Maybe not. I'm hopeful. Will you get that job you're looking for? Maybe. Maybe not. Will that relational issue work itself out? Maybe. Maybe not. Will that medical issue go the way you want it to go? Maybe. Maybe not. But I'm sure and I'm certain. I have no doubt that all of God's promises are yes and amen in Christ Jesus. All of those promises that go way beyond the temporal things that we're concerned about right now. All those are very temporal, changing. Many of you can think back on the last five jobs you had. And that one 5 jobs ago seemed like you were going to retire at that job. But things change. You can think back on the last 4 medical conditions you had. It's like, can't remember some of them because God worked through it all. And now there's a new something. But all the promises of God are sure and certain to come to pass, to be fulfilled. That gets me excited. That gets me thankful. That gets my eyes off of the short-term temporary things and onto the long-term eternal things where we are going to be with the Lord of glory forever. Forever. That's reason to give thanks. That's reason to celebrate and use good manners with the turkey. Now, I hope you had fun with that. That's the kind of faith that'll make you all the more thankful any day of the year. When you fix your eyes on those things and trust Him, yes, we pray for healing. Yes, we pray for finances. Yes, we pray for these things. But we trust that a good God will, yes or no, and it'll still be good. Amen? Biblical faith will make you more thankful, and being more thankful will increase your faith. And your faith will make you more thankful, and then your thankfulness will give you more faith. I just think it's a wonderful circle. This is what the ancients were commended for. I love that term, the ancients, because they weren't just talking about all the people that lived back then. They're talking about the ones who were commended, who trusted God despite the circumstances, despite what it looked like. The ones who were barren, the ones who were destitute, the ones who looked like it is not going to work out. And God gave them a promise, and they held on to it. And God was pleased, and they were blessed. So let's stand up and close in prayer. And I want to ask, what might be going on in your life that's not looking good? Because this, I believe God wants to give you the scripture to hold on to in the midst of that. Not just wishful thinking or hope for the best, but to give you a tangible promise of God in the midst of that circumstance and whatever it might be, for you to hold on to. What is a promise that relates to what you might be dealing with? And then apply faith to that promise. Apply His word that He will for sure and certainly follow through on. See His promise as being more powerful than the circumstance. And it starts when you have that promise of God, when you know that scripture that goes with whatever the need is, you can give God thanks in the midst of the circumstance because of the substance and the evidence of all that He's done, the history of the testimonies of others who have seen the faithfulness of God that we hold on to and apply and recognize. And this is our faith is built on His word, but also on the testimonies of others that we know and trust that God has been faithful to them. And we don't make doctrine by our experience, but we glean from experience where He's proven faithful time and time again. And He shows His promises are true. So Lord, increase our faith. Give us an ever-increasing grateful heart and growing faith that's not based on our feelings or our senses or our opinions, but on Your word, on the faithfulness of others. I'm just curious if you just raise your hand, if you're dealing with something, just raise your hand before the Lord. Something special, something timely. So Father, You see all the hands raised, and I just pray that You would enlighten them, Holy Spirit, with Your word. Show them the scripture. Show them, take them to Your promise that they can hold on to, that they can put into practice and exercise that to please You in that way, as without faith it's impossible to please You, but we do please You when we trust Your word. I pray, God, that You would show them in Your word what applies to their situation. Lead them by Your Spirit to go beyond just hoping for the best or feeling like they're out in the open seas with no anchor. God, give them that anchor. Give them that anchor by Your word. And let them rest. And be held tight.
Oh, we trust You, Jesus.
Thank You, Jesus.
Because when You walk into the room,
yes, Lord,
everything changes.
Yes.
Darkness starts to tremble at the light that You bring when You walk into the room.
Yes, God.
Every heart starts beating and Nothing matters more than just to sit here at your feet and worship you. Sing when you walk into the room. Just go to the Lord with this. When you walk into the room, sickness starts to vanish. Every hopeless situation ceases to exist. When you walk into the room, the dead begin to rise, because there's resurrection life in all you do. Let's just speak faith to our souls again.
Yes.
Sing that again. When you walk. Because when you walk into the room, sickness starts to vanish. Every hopeless situation ceases to exist. When you walk into the room, dead begin to rise, cause there's resurrection life in all you do. Sing, we love you. Let's praise him. We love you, and we'll never stop. We can't live without you, Jesus. We love you. We can't get enough. All this is for you, Jesus. Oh, we thank you that it's all about you, Lord. All the power, all the glory, all the ability is about you, Lord. We thank you, Lord. You're strong enough to do it, Lord. Let's just stir our faith one last time. Sing when you walk. Because when you walk into the room, the sickness starts to vanish. Every hopeless situation ceases to exist. When you walk into the room, the dead begin to rise, cause there's resurrection life in all you do. One more time. When you walk into the room, the sickness starts to vanish. Every hopeless situation ceases to exist. When you walk into the room, dead begin to rise, cause there's resurrection life in all you do. Oh, we love you, Lord, cause we love you, and we'll never stop. Can't live without you, Jesus. Can't get enough, and all this is for you, Jesus. We believe you, and we'll never stop. We can't live without you, Jesus. We believe you, we believe you,
Lord,
and we can't get enough. For you, Jesus. Oh, we believe you, Lord.
Yes.
We take you at your word.
Yes, God. If you need to come up and we'll agree with you in prayer, we'll dismiss you. But if you'd like prayer, there'll be people up here to pray for you and agree for whatever situation you're going through, because Jesus is awesome. So, Father, we thank you that you are worthy of our trust, worthy of our worship and our praise. And when you do walk into the room, Lord, everything does change. And there is no higher authority than you. And you won the victory over every sickness and disease. over every area, over every realm. You are Lord and sovereign. And Father, we pray that you would be glorified in our lives, God, as we trust you, as we lean into you and know your word and hold on to it as solid. Lord, thank you that you're the God of all comfort. Thank you that you're our provider and Savior. You came to seek and to save that which was lost. And you're Jehovah Jireh. You provide for us in every area, in every way. Lord, bless the rest of this weekend as we celebrate with family and friends. We love you, Lord. Thanks for loving us first. Hallelujah. We pray in Jesus' name. Come up for prayer if you'd like. Amen.